Last month, Spin magazine announced a new experiment. A music team hopes to review 1,500 mixtapes albums on Twitter this year, along with about 200 long-form reviews. Spin's senior editor, Christopher Weingarten, argues that music criticism is evolving into a downloader's handbook and that the Twitter reviews will help readers discover new bands. His detractors argue that reviews that short can't possibly communicate much more than a quip or a put-down. So send us your review of a classic album in 140 characters. You could tweet us at TOTN or send us an email. The address is talk@npr.org. Christopher Weingarten, a senior editor at Spin Magazine, and he joins us now from our bureau in New York. Nice to have you with us today.
Oh, it's great to be here.
And it's nice to know you're not going to ask anybody else to do something you haven't tried 1,000 times yourself.
That's absolutely correct. I've been through the tweet review ringer for years, so I feel like I can, you know, properly train people for this twisted endeavor.
And how can you review something in 140 characters?
You know, I think the thing you have to do is be economical and concentrate on every single word and make every word count. And I think that, you know, since reviewers on the internet have been given this wide abyss to just sprawl out and stretch and go forever if you want, you know, I think it's a lost art to you know, sculpt each word like a piece of clay.
Be economical. That sounds like the advice I got as a racetrack goer going to for the first time to quarter horse racing. What do I look for? Early speed. Economical, of course it's going to be economical. I mean, you only got 140 characters.
You know, I mean, it's a limit, you know, and I think in an age with no word counts, I think it produces better writing when you give yourself a limit.
So almost a form of, well, condensation. Poetry is probably going a little too far.
I wouldn't go that far, but I'd go very, very close. I'd go right up to the line and nudge it.
It is important to note that there will be some 200 longer form reviews. That is a form that continues to interest you?
Absolutely. I mean, that's the form that interests me more than any other writing on the face of the planet is the long form review. And in some of the backlash that we've gotten about our new system to review 1,500 records over Twitter, the lead has kind of been buried that, you know, we're doing this so we can focus more on running 20 longer reviews a month that are evocative and incisive and standalone, whether you've heard or haven't heard the record. You know, it's giving us the time and the budget and, you know, the energy to really put everything into a couple longer reviews.
Here's a tweet we got from Chris Brown. At TOT, an album review in haiku, Dark Side of the Moon, Pink Floyd's magnum opus of life in the modern age.
It works for me. So, you know, if I was editing that tweet, I would certainly, you know, ask to maybe get a couple of words about the textures on that record. You know, that's a fantastic start as far as I'm concerned.
Jan in San Francisco sent us this review of Antonio Carlos Jobim's Black Orpheus soundtrack from 1959. Beautiful music, dangerous rhythms.
Oh, man. You should be forwarding me all these. You might start hiring some of these people. This is great.
You're actually going to be using members of your staff and some freelancers as well.
We have about every one of our editors is currently contributing to the tweets, and we have a staff of about 12 or 13 freelancers who are on top of this. And virtually all of them have come back to me in writing all caps emails about how harder this is than they thought it would be originally.
Have some come begging for 5 more characters?
Well, a lot of them conveniently leave off their byline or the score, or some punctuation, and sneak stuff out of there. But it's, you know, a good editor's job to make sure that semicolon makes it back in there.
Is this going to be, as some say, some of the criticism is it will just lead to, you know, effectively either a blurb or a put down?
I think some of them definitely are blurbs or put downs. I think that's a totally fair criticism. I think that it's it's unfair to think that everyone who makes a record is a special snowflake that deserves something more than a blurb or a put down sometimes. You know, some records don't deserve more than a sentence. And it's a huge a huge oversight on everyone's part that we keep perpetuating the myth that every record is important in the same way that other records are.
And indeed that the form has suffered from, well, bloviation.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think, you know, record reviews, you know, right now are some of the most bloated, unreadable, you know, impenetrable things humanly possible because, you know, editors have fallen to the wayside. People aren't paying, people aren't paying people to edit copy anymore. You know, the budgets are drying up and, you know, we're letting a self-indulgent generation get away with murder.
And the idea that effectively publications like Spin Magazine are going to be downloaders' handbooks, that it seems like you've set out to do more than that.
I mean, I think that the idea that people are going to the internet to find ideas of what to download is absolutely accurate. You know, I think that's the role of music magazines in the future is helping people, you know, either it's going to be involving people on whatever level they want to participate. And some people are rabid downloaders and, you know, spend entire days torrenting records. Other people just want a recommendation or two. I think that this new system allows for both of those people to come to Spin Magazine and find what they want.
And again, if it's an important record by an important artist, whether it's good or bad, you're going to spend more time with it.
Absolutely. Every newsworthy record that, you know, we are going to branch out and do, you know, 500, 700, 1,500, 2,000 words on it. And this is something we didn't have the budget for earlier because we were doing a lot of 80-word reviews. You know, I feel that newsworthy records need to have a little more time spent with them, you know. And also, you know, we have a new thing called Spin Essentials, and we are just going to go in and, you know, dedicate large amounts of space to all the records we love in the office, all the things that we're playing that we think are important.
Here's an email from William in Falls Church, a statement about a great new record, 140 characters with spaces. He says, "Birds Fly South, the Mastersons' masterpiece of today's culture, marrying their voices in perfect harmony, they have mastered the art of the song." Not too bad. A little bit of master repetition. I think we got the point there. This from Ray's Joe. Discipline, King Crimson, always fresh, forward-thinking, intense, soothing, haunting, pulsating, freakish, helpful, weirdly beautiful.
I think those are all accurate things to say about King Crimson's Discipline, although I might find five spaces for wonky.
That's good. That's why you're the editor, I guess. This is from Denmark. Richard and Linda Thompson, "Shoot Out the Lights, a Chilling Tale of Marriage Gone Wrong, Lonely, Dark, and Chilling."
I definitely would not want to use the word chilling twice, but that is, you know, is a great way to get into to Shoot Out the Lights.
This from Utah Coach. "The Beatles' Sgt. Pepper's album conjures magic. Picture yourself in a boat on a river with tangerine trees and marmalade skies." I'm not sure that was the one tune I'd quote from.
I think we'd be getting a cease and desist letter if we published that.
I think so. Probably from Apple's lawyers, Apple Music. They were pretty observant, I think.
They're very on top of things.
I think both Apple companies were pretty, including each other. Let's see. This is from Joan. "Kiss Live, well worth smuggling into the house in your parents' Pat Boone album cover." Maybe inside a pair.
Your parents are totally going to find that there. Well, it's not where you want to hide it.
This is MGMT's Oracular Spectacular. "Psychedelic English majors playing majorly English psychedelia."
Hmm.
Okay. And this from Jim Thompson in Fort Mill, South Carolina. Here's a review. 2 hours of POW, the one recording you must listen to. She is still well, just a little more marvelous than all the others. The review for Judy Garland live at Carnegie Hall, recorded live and complete on April 21st, 1961, which is a terrific record.
I can't believe we forgot to review that one this year.
It's probably been reissued every year. I think it's still in print.
We blew it.
Here's another review of Sgt. Pepper from Art Modern. Sgt. Pepper was lonely, formed a band to make others happy, and did. George, John, Paul, and Ringo were in it many years ago. Yeah, I'm not so sure. April Yamane tweets, turn Pink Floyd's Animals, Pink Floyd's Animals, strange, funny, heartrending.
Heartrending?
Heartrending.
I love it.
Utah coach with another one.
This is great. I'm so glad everyone's getting into this. This is so fun. What we wanted to do with this was start a conversation and get people to start, you know, thinking about these massive things that affect our lives in the most, you know, essential way as possible.
Here's from E Street Picks, Born to Run. The Jets and the Sharks realize they are one and the same and explode through a wall of sound and gritty imagery.
That's awesome.
That's not too bad. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Do we got any characters left for Glockenspiels?
I'm sure we do. We're talking with Christopher Weingarten, the senior editor at Spin Magazine, himself the author of 1,000 tweet reviews as the magazine tries an experiment to review 1,500 albums and mixtapes and whatever over the next year. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And again, you can send us your tweets or emails with a review of a classic record at TOTN or TOTN@NPR.org. This from Zomes Improvisations. Ex-Lungfish etherealist Azza Osbourne plays 14-minute synth residue like cotton candy sketches or tangerine naps.
Are you going to play the record?
I don't know. I don't have the record queued up right here.
Oh, man. It's a sweet record. It's amazing.
Oh, those are real reviews from Spin Magazine.
That's a real one from Spin Magazine.
All right. I should have been able to tell by that spin in the corner there. We have a couple of phone calls. Maybe they've got 140-word reviews. Dave's on the line. Dave calling us from Grand Rapids.
Hi.
You only get 100. I'm very well, but you've already used several characters there, Dave.
Oh, is that too many? Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I was thinking of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. It was a great album that the Beatles did, probably, I think, one of the greatest. But I was thinking of just one of the phrases in For the Benefit of Mr. Kite. And I was thinking to review the album, you could go A Splendid Time is Guaranteed for All.
And you'd still have room left over.
Yeah, that's a great one. I mean,
album.
Yeah, truly. And to be honest, like, if we were to review Sgt. Pepper's today, I think the first thing we'd want to do is make sure to go long on that one.
I think you'd probably want to take that one, yeah. Maybe even beyond 2,000 words. You never know.
Maybe even, yeah.
Dave, thanks very much for the call.
Okay, thanks.
Let's see if we go next to, this is Gary, and Gary with us from Marble, Minnesota.
Afternoon.
Hi.
My sense of a lot of the writing today is that most writers are too easily satisfied with their songs, and they haven't learned how to be critical of their own writing. And when somebody else is critical of their writing, they take it personally.
Umbrage, I think, is what you're aiming at there.
Instead of trying to learn from somebody else's point of view, they just shut down.
Is that your experience, Christopher Weingarten? Do people appreciate when it's pointed out that they may have erred on the side of whatever in their music, or do they appreciate the criticism?
You know, I think the problem is people are actually not being critical enough on bands and other writers. You know, I think that just the way that review sections are pitched, a lot of the people who gravitate towards the records, they gravitate towards records they like and artists they like and want to write about and often want to make happy. And so I think that, you know, we're living in a culture of a lot of cheerleading and backpatting. And I think that, you know, there's not enough criticism going around.
By definition, this is going to force a lot of your writers and freelancers to expose themselves to new ideas and to, I suspect, be critical.
You know, I've been running review sections for 10 years now, and I can tell you that the amount of negative reviews that I get from this are just overwhelming compared to some of the other ones of just by factor of, you know, letting people stretch out and review records that they didn't send me an email about.
Anonymous sends us this email. Grateful Dead, American Beauty, a trip through your American culture. It truly is an American beauty. Well, I'm not sure that's going to make it past the editor there. And Angela emails, Purple Rain is the soundtrack of the late 1980s. When Doves Cry makes your heart beat. Darling Nikki invents the PRMC and Purple Rain makes your arms sway above your head. Oh, I like that last part.
It's very visual. I like it. I love it.
And what if you have advice, again, as the author of 1,000 tweet reviews yourself on somebody trying this out, what would it be?
The way that I tell my, you know, I shouldn't give away my secrets. You know, you wouldn't have David Copperfield on the show and ask him how he made the Statue of Liberty.
Yes, we would.
Yes, you would. Well, you know, what I always tell my writers is, you know, sit down with the record, put it on in a place where you can really concentrate on it and, you know, write down every thought that comes to mind about it, every word that it conjures, every image and visual, and then, you know, by the time the record's over, you should have, you know, a beautiful stew where you can hand pick, you know, the most evocative words from that pile and create from them.
And here's one from Mikhail Salachina. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Kanye West college dropout, soulful backpacker questions the conventions of hip hop and society, perfect in its imperfection. And this one I like from Jay is Rad. Miles Davis, Kind of Blue. The 1960s crystallized evocative melodies, pastoral ballads, and distinct aesthetics over modal landscapes.
Ooh.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, the Kanye one, too, man. Like, you know, the perfect in its imperfections is the exact thing that people seem to miss about his music a lot.
Christopher Weingarten, good luck.
Oh, thank you so much.
Christopher Weingarten, senior editor at Spin Magazine. He joined us from our bureau in New York. Tomorrow, Talk of the Nation Science Friday, vinyl or CD? Before your answer, join guest host John Dankosky on Science Friday for a look at audio science, plus learning to play music at any age. That's tomorrow, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.